Death Spiral, the only anime podcast that grows stronger when it feeds on the hearts of its enemies. And by enemies, I mean other anime podcasts.
We've taken down so many at this point. We're coming for you next. You know who we're talking about.
Yeah, you know the reason you've only heard of like one or two. It's because we've been working behind the scenes.
Like the stupid reverse Fox unit from Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, you mean XOF?
Yeah, XOF. Our job was to go in and make sure nobody knew what the secret missions that you were doing.
Yeah, we're the hunter killer killers.
We're the cleanup crew for the cleanup crew.
Yeah.
We're your favorite black site unit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've often described us as the Dexter of anime podcasts.
They call us the Grim Reaper of anime podcasts, the Shadow Reaper.
We're the dark heroes that saves you from the other anime podcasts.
You're all down in the gutters looking for guidance. You'll look up and we'll whisper back, "Go to hell."
You know, I know it's old hat at this point. I mean, it's just like weirdo reactionaries just don't understand anything and they're kind of dumb. But I saw another thread in the hell year of our hell lord 2025 of somebody saying Rorschach from Watchmen was the only good guy in the comic.
Alan Moore turns over in his grave every time somebody says that.
It must be like a little bee sting, you know?
Well, you know, there's that very famous quote of him talking about this exact phenomenon where he says something to the effect of like, yeah, a guy came up to me at a comic book convention and said like, "Hey, man, I love Rorschach. Like, I am that guy. I totally identify with him." And Alan Moore's like, "Get away from me, you freak."
Yeah. Don't ever get near me. If you think Rorschach was the good guy, please stay the fuck away. Holds true to this day. If you think Rorschach was in any way one of the good guys in that comic, I think a CAT scan would help.
Yeah,
honestly.
Did you watch the HBO like Watchmen sequel show they did a few years back?
No, I couldn't really bring myself to give it a shot after I saw some of like the weird KKK shit.
Well, that's what I was getting at. I didn't finish the season, but one of the things, it's like they were taking that exact sentiment and making it so blaringly overt and central to the plot that, hey, the people who like Rorschach are like weird reactionary racists, and the Rorschach hood is just a stand-in for the KKK hood for them, like functionally. Like that is just the, you know, explicit dialogue of the show to its audience, and people were like, "Oh, I can't believe it's like being so over exaggerated, you know, this show is so uncool and unsubtle. Why can't they do it cooler like the comic?"
It's, you can't say anything is over exaggerated, unsubtle if it's based on a comic book. I'm sorry. That's the whole fucking deal. That's what the medium exists to do.
Let alone a comic book that was supposed to be like a takedown of the, you know, philosophies of comic writing at the time. Like,
yes,
Watchmen is very much, hey, comics are dumb and superheroes are dumb and dangerous.
I think it's difficult because Alan Moore is like, "I'm going to write a parody of like Cape comics." And then his parody is too smart to read as parody. You know, these are the troubles of being a genius. You know, it's difficult. We would know, of course.
Well, I blame Peter Gibbons for all of his cool, like, art, like the kick-ass artwork and, like, character designs. People totally gloss over anything, any dialogue that Moore wrote, and they just look at the cool pictures and see, hey, cool face splotch detective man, and he's making a flamethrower out of a spray can, and he's fighting people. I don't know who they are. They were cops. He was killing cops at the time, but they don't care about
mostly cops.
Like, wow,
and regular people.
Hey, blue man with penis, that's funny, and he can blow up people. Cool shit.
It is funny, though. No, but hold on. It is funny.
The giant blue penis is a great visual gag.
And that's funny.
Anybody who says that that wasn't meant in a humorous sense, like when Moore and Gibbons put it on the page, they're fucking lying to you, because it is very much a joke within the wider context of that comic book.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Come on.
He's got a big blue dick. It's a funny
it's
joke.
It's funny, dude. It's fucking funny. Now, is Peter Gibbons Dave Gibbons' brother?
Oh, shit. Am I getting that wrong? Sorry. Sorry, Dave.
Anyway.
Sorry, Dave.
You know, and
fuck you, Pete.
Unfortunately, that is one of those things about the show that I didn't... it wasn't just the weird KKK stuff, but also that she was like... the main character's a cop, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, that sucks.
She's one of the good cops.
She's one of the good cops. Yeah, and, you know, we were talking before about how that Devil May Cry show changed one of the characters into a cop, and
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, they're changing Lady from, I mean, admittedly, a sophomoric take on what a demon hunter is. I don't know. They're getting rid of the weird, sexy schoolgirl outfit that she had in the video game, but they made her a cop, like, and not even just a regular-ass cop. They made her a stupid-ass, generic sci-fi cyber cop, you know? With weird angular, like, shoulder pads on her jacket.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. Stallone-style Judge Dredd cop is the aesthetic they're going for. Not the good Judge Dredd, the Stallone one.
What does a cop have to do with Devil May Cry?
I've played all of those games, even the Ninja Theory one.
The Alex Garland one.
Yeah, the Alex Garland one.
The Alex Garland one. Let's
and
not mince words.
There weren't even cops in the Alex Garland one. Cops are not a thought.
Yeah, they're not
present
there.
In the design of Devil May Cry.
There's never been a cop in a Devil May Cry game.
Devil May Cry is so punk that cops don't even exist in that world. They're just not there. You got cool demon hunters with big swords and demons. Nobody has time for cops.
Honestly, I watched a little bit of that trailer, and the only recognizable element I really connected to was the pizza.
Sure.
They went hard on the pizza.
I mean, that is everybody's favorite gag from the third game, you know.
Yep.
You get to see Dante open his mouth real big, take a bite of pizza.
He eats pizza.
He's like the dude in that aspect. He just wanted to eat his pizza, and some demons came in and fucked up his morning, pissed on his rug. He just wanted to eat that pizza, and then everything went to hell after that.
Yes. We believe in nothing, Dante.
We're nihilists.
We're sub-nihilists. Yeah, and you know the cop thing too, like we mentioned, we were talking before the show as well, that No Name is getting canceled, and it's probably because the main characters are cops.
Yeah.
Because no one likes cops.
Cops are so passe right now. Like,
you know who likes cops is boomers. Like, those are the people who are watching these cop shows that run forever. NYPD Blue, CSI... SVU,
Regular Law and Order.
Oh, what's another one?
Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
Is Bones? Bones is a cop, right?
Bones, yeah, yeah. Bones is a cop. She is a forensic mortician in the employ of cops, which makes her a cop.
Yeah, it's like if you work with the cops, you're a cop.
Yeah.
And the characters in No Name, unfortunately, were cops. Now,
they were cops. With superpowers.
They had superpowers. I'm not sure if that makes it better or worse, to be honest.
Oh, it definitely makes it worse. You do not want the cops to have superpowers.
Yeah, actually, it's kind of what the first issue was about. They just straight up have, like, a one of these police-involved shootings, as they call them here in America. And it's bad, and it has to do with having superpowers. It is a shame that that comic is getting canceled so fast, because it actually was really good. I liked it a lot. And even though they're cops, the main story case that was unfolding over the unfortunately short run, 13 issues it made it to, was about, like, cop corruption. Like, cops are bad. That was sort of the thrust of the story so far.
I mean, if we're being real, that's probably why it got the kibosh.
Oh, you think that's why?
I mean, you tell me. You read a lot of manga, watch a lot of anime. Are you seeing a definitive anti-cop sentiment throughout the industry?
I'm not seeing it a lot, but, you know, cops aren't always super revered. They're also kind of treated like chumps because, like, you know, who's the actual cool guys? It's the guys in black suits and ties who show up and they have, like, magic swords or demon-fighting briefcases filled with talismans.
Yeah, who needs cops when you have the reassuring omnipresence of the FBI?
Yeah, the magical FBI seems to be way more popular than the cop right now.
I've always wondered, because I never read Hero Aka, but did that world have cops? Like, when they have such a huge and expansive superhero league, do cops still exist?
I think generally when you have a world that is dependent on superheroes, they try to downplay the cop part, because if you think about it, unhero-powered cops would just get their asses handed to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to show, even in this day and age, you don't want to have a comic where cops are just getting murdered left and right.
Well, speak for yourself, but, you know, I see where you're coming from.
You know, when you're in Shonen Jump, I mean.
Sure. Maybe the young, impressionable 23-year-old minds of Shonen Jump readers aren't quite ready to tackle that particular social problem.
It's a little too edgy for a Shonen Jump audience, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe a Seinen Jump audience, that may be a place where these kind of things could take root.
But we do have, I mean, right now we do have a lot of manga where cops are antagonistic in the top slots. I mean, think about this. Spy Family?
Sure.
As close as we have to an actual antagonist in that run is a fucking military police. And that's like the most popular manga in the world. Sort of.
Kind of.
No,
what I'm seeing way more is this underlying sentiment, like in Chainsaw Man with their demon FBI division, we'll call it.
Yeah.
Is this sentiment that the government as a whole, like, is a shadowy organization that nobody really understands how they work or what they do, except they come in the black suits and shades and kind of blow up a neighborhood every once in a while and then leave.
Yeah.
That's really what I feel right now in a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing.
Yeah, but that's good, apparently.
It's good that the government is comprised of two groups, shadowy hit squads that are fighting demons or aliens, or overfunded, bloated bureaucratic systems run by the ungodly old. and both are presented as like, well, that's just how government works, right?
I mean, that's just how it is, you know?
That's just how it is.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is a thing we talked about before, too, a while back, where, like, most manga, at some point, the main characters will become cops.
I by default, I think that many, many anime characters are cops. Ash Ketchum, that kid was a cop. He was a Pokemon cop.
Well, he was at the very least, he was a snitch.
Yeah, a collaborator.
I was thinking of, you know, Fool Knight, which we've been reading for a while, and love. I don't want to say anything. I love Fool Knight. It's fucking fantastic. But in this point of the story, our main characters have both become cops, which, you know, kind of sucks.
Yeah, well, it's a common jumping off point for this kind of story, right? A person is pulled from obscurity or a position of being powerless and deputized with the authority of some governing body, that because they have a special skill or a special ability, and, you know, suddenly you're a cop. Bleach, cop. Naruto, cop. Goku was not a cop, like, very definitively, I'm going to say. He just liked beating up people. He was kind of a psychopath.
He was a psycho.
Yeah, he was definitely a psycho. Did I already say Bleach? Bleach kid is a cop, like, big-time cop.
Yeah, a fucking supernatural murder cop.
Yeah.
Murder-death cop.
Deku, Hero Academia, cop.
Well, yes. He goes to fucking Junior Police Squad Academy.
The superhero youth.
Yeah, the fucking absolute dork shit. That's why I kind of like Jagan, because it's about a cop who hates being a cop, so he becomes like a superhero, which is kind of funny. It's a good twist.
Mm-hmm.
Ichi the Witch is one of the newest, like, big Shonen Jump breakouts. And that's about a kid who becomes the first male cop.
In this setting, are the witches the cops?
Yeah, witches are cops because, you know, they have magic.
Witches should never be cops. Again, partly because you don't want cops to have magic powers. I think that would be very bad.
Yeah. And you think women shouldn't be cops anyway.
Hey, that was supposed to stay on the Discord.
I not sure how I feel about Ichi the Witch. I'm not sure I like it very much. It does have the very weird energy to it where it's like, you know, it's a world where only women can have magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then one boy gets magic and he becomes the most powerful witch there has ever been in the history of witches. And I don't know how I feel about that.
That seems a little weird, right? It seems a little, what about the guys?
What about the fellas?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the fellas be good at this?
We'll just move in on your witching territory.
Yeah, I don't know. It just has weird energy. I think that one's definitely going to get an anime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yomi no Tsugai, Demons of the Shadow Realm. You remember that? By Hiromu Arakawa, that new one.
Bells right now. Did we talk about that already?
Yeah, that's Arakawa's new manga about the guys who have...
Yes, Hiromu Arakawa. Yeah, I remember now, yeah.
Yeah, they battle Pokemon in the streets. It only took about 20 issues before that kid became a cop. But that's sort of like inter-agency battles.
Okay.
There's sort of cop-on-cop violence in there.
Well, again, going with superpowered cops... to their credit, Full Metal Alchemist was kind of about how cops were bad.
Military police.
Again, it did hinge on the fact that the entire military was being surreptitiously controlled by an evil demon shadow entity. So, you know, they can really kind of shift the blame from, like, the institution of policing being bad for society to the demon shadow. I think that gets a little messy.
You know, now that I think about it, it really was a we were just following orders type situation, huh?
And then at the end, they were like, hey, that's a perfectly fine excuse. We're cool now.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? So did you watch any anime since we talked?
Believe it or not, I have. I could not go back to any more of these premieres. I have been too disheartened. So like all good reactionaries, I look to the past for inspiration.
Naturally.
Yeah. I have been watching a show that came out in 2011 called Mawaru Penguin Drum.
Penguin Drum.
Penguin Drum.
Penguin Drum.
Have you heard anything about this?
I mean, the name is familiar, but I do not know what the story is.
So, like all of my anime choices, I went with this because it completely vibes-based. I saw the opening animation and a clip on my YouTube feed, and I'm like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. I want to see what's going on there. And this definitely is interesting. So this is a show about three siblings, three little orphans, two twin brothers and their younger sister.
Sure.
And so, you know, classic setup, the Takakuras. And we have the one brother who's redheaded and he's kind of like the headstrong.
The redheaded stepchild.
Well, kind of. We'll get to that. He's like, okay. Yeah, he's the brash, you know, confident, pretty boy, playboy kind of guy. He's always like dating girls and then breaking up with them real suddenly. And we have his twin brother who has blue hair. And as you can imagine, he's kind of the opposite demeanor. He's kind of reserved and a little bit effeminate. He's like always thinking about romance novels that he likes to read. And he's like, he's the sensitive type. And then they have their terminally ill younger sister who, for an unspecified amount of time, has been in the hospital with some kind of degenerative brain disease. They don't ever really go into it, but they show some x-rays that make it look like she has a big brain tumor.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah, great start off.
Love that for her.
Yeah, I loved it in the fishing anime. I thought that was a really good start.
Yeah. Did you just Google anime with brain tumor?
I wonder how many examples there are. It's got to be, like, so common.
You would have to filter out the ones where the brain tumor talks, honestly, if you wanted to get, like, good results.
So the first episode kind of sets up their predicament. They don't have any parents. They live alone. They've kind of done the, like, imparentification thing that orphans do, where the younger sister is kind of like, you know, she cooks and cleans for these two awful fuck-up boys while they try and fail all of their final exams. And one day, she is given leave to take a day to leave the hospital and go out with her family because she was, you know, her health was looking up. And they all decide to go to the aquarium together to look at the penguins, as is a classic move, which...
Sure.
I'm not sure why that is the classic move. Did that happen in some kind of, like, big romance fiction, going to see the penguins at the zoo? Because it comes up a lot.
I think people just like penguins.
I mean, I get it.
That moment in Chainsaw Man, too, where he really wanted to go see the penguins.
I've noticed it pop up a lot in, like, romance manga that I've read. There's always a date scene about going to see the penguins at the zoo or the aquarium. It's weird that it pops up so much. Anyway, they take their little sister on this day trip to the zoo, where they go and see the penguins and have a good time, and they buy her this weird looking penguin hat, a penguin shaped hat from the aquarium gift shop.
Sure. Mm-hmm. She exited through the gift shop,
where she promptly dropped dead.
Oh shit.
Yeah, right in front of everybody.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Real strong start in terms of whiplash here. So they rush her to the hospital, and the doctor's like, yeah, sorry, but she's dead. Like, dead, dead. She's no longer alive.
God damn.
And, yeah. And so they are with her body in the morgue, mourning their recent loss. And, by the way, I just want to say, no mention of where the parents are, what happened to them. They mention that they're orphans, and we see a, you know, a family photo of the five of them on their mantle.
What the fuck?
In their apartment, but no other mention of where the like what happened to them, which is important for later.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they are grieving their sister when suddenly she sits up on the morgue table and proclaims that she is the entity known as Fate. By the way, she's still wearing the penguin hat, I want to add.
They didn't take it off during the autopsy.
They didn't take it off, no.
Seemed disrespectful.
You think that they would have a person whose job is to, like, take off embarrassing pieces of clothing that the deceased may have been wearing at the time.
They do. It's called the coroner. That's his job.
Oh, we can't have them seeing you like this. So she sits up, proclaims that she is Fate, and transports them to some kind of pocket dimension. By the way, I want to add that this show is very reflective of its time, in the sense that it seems aesthetically very inspired by, like, Persona in particular, in the sense that all the characters are fancy little private school kids wearing, like, weird fancy little uniforms.
Yeah, with patches.
With patches and whatnot.
Emblazoned on their blazers.
And Japan itself in this setting seems to exist in that weird semi-sci-fi, like, realm where it's a mix of like Rococo French aesthetic and Cirque du Soleil sets.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, so already we're kind of in a more fantastically imagined version of Tokyo. And anyway, she transports them to the pocket dimension and says, first of all, I think it's very funny that this entity that is controlling their sister's body at the moment is incredibly rude and only refers to them as you losers who will aspire to nothing. She greets them like that every time.
Wow, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Especially coming from your dead sister.
Yeah, the thing puppeting around your dead sister's body.
Well, they're understandably in shock still at this point. And so this entity basically says to them, like, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to bring your sister back to life for now, as long as you do exactly what I say. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? And they're like, shut up, losers. Listen, your sister is dead, like super dead, but I can bring her back to life as long as you help me find this thing called the penguin drum.
Oh.
And they're like, okay, well, what is it? Like, where can we find it? And it's like, shut up. And it banishes them back to the realm of the living, I guess.
Midgard?
Yeah, Midgard. And they're like, wow, that was weird. But their sister is alive. And they're like, okay, well, I guess it wasn't a dream. Like, our sister's not dead, and she was definitely dead. So I guess we got to find this penguin drum thing. So they go back to their apartment, and the first episode ends with them acquiring, they get mailed in an insulated freezer package, three little like cutesy mascot penguins that, you know, follow them around.
Oh, they're alive.
Yeah, they're alive. Okay. Yeah, they're alive. No, they're not dead.
Yeah, you know, a cooler shows up at your door and it has penguin meat in it.
No, these were whole ass penguins.
Okay, whole ass penguins. Gotcha. Yeah,
one for each of them. And nobody else can see the penguins, which is the first weird thing. Only they can see them.
Oh, God.
And they can give them commands and, like, have them do stuff, although they comically are inept at doing really anything. They don't have fine motor skills, you see.
The penguins.
Yeah, the penguins.
These three Harveys.
So that's how the first episode ends. I watched, I think I'm up to episode 4 now, but, you know, the second episode, their sister, while eating breakfast with them, gets repossessed by this fate entity. And it's like, all right, dummies, here's what you got to do. You got to follow this girl from another school around, because I think that she has the penguin drum, maybe. It's kind of weird to hear from a supposedly omniscient being that, like, yeah, I don't really know where this thing I'm looking for is.
But, like, maybe that kid has it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that kid has it. I'm not sure.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. The first little, like, setup arc is this girl, another high schooler from a different fancy rich kid's high school. They got to follow her around and figure out how she's connected to this whole thing, which brings me to my first point that I'm liking the mystery that they're setting up so far in this show, but they are doing some real hard and uncomfortable sexualization of all of these high school characters. It is very much...
Well, it is anime.
It's very anime.
It's anime.
Anime-ass anime from 2011.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of jokes about, like, the one... one of the brothers decided that, like, okay, well, we can see and touch these weird penguin things, so I'm going to tape a camera onto it and have it go spy on this girl for me because no one else can see them.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. And so, obviously, they do exactly what you think they do, and they do a lot of upskirt jokes, which is very, like, off-putting.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I'm intrigued because the like so far, you know, they follow this girl around all day. They get into some humorous situations where they break into her apartment to spy on her.
Oh, that is
funny.
And
she comes home early and they have to do that gag where they hide behind the couch while she's in the room. you know, that humorous gag.
Yeah, that humorous gag where you've broken into somebody's house and you have to hide.
And then they follow her around, and like she goes into a lingerie store, and we kind of get this.
She goes into a lingerie. Hold on, what?
Yes. Well, it's because we're getting this this unfolding story about her being obsessed with a teacher from their school, and she's actually like a stalker, and she's trying to seduce this much older man.
Oh God!
And they're both like, "Wow, that's creepy."
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got to the anime real quick.
They got to the anime really quick. And I think they're very much doing that thing where you kind of front load a story with this stuff to catch people's, you know, attention, because we're already real early in, 4 episodes out of 24, and it's getting increasingly more intense with the direction these characters are going, because we have this stalker chick, and in the next episode after this, it's like kind of goes into her backstory about why she's obsessed with this dude, and she finds out that he has a girlfriend, and that makes her go kind of crazy, and so they're kind of like alluding that she's trying to poison him. And then, you know, it kind of leaves off where I left off. Was the biggest kind of like whoa moment, in that they are starting to subtly hint that all of these characters, or at least their parents, are somehow connected to the Aum Shinryoko, like, Tokyo subway gas attacks.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So all
why
of
does this keep happening?
Well, it certainly makes all the Ava references that they do more poignant.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like where I left off, it just had a moment where we realized that this girl's father is missing, as well as the main character's parents and some other characters. Everyone has missing parents. And then they keep making like these background like allusions to the subway gas attack. Like the news is constantly talking about how it's the like the upcoming 10-year anniversary of the attacks, and it's like, what are they doing here? You know, all the while we've got these honestly humorous interactions with the weird fate god entity where it possesses their sister and like berates them relentlessly while telling them to go on these like super creepy stalking missions.
So
that's where I left off. I've got to say it's got its issues, but like I'm intrigued to say the least. Again, because of the gas attack thing, I think that's a real bold move.
That's,
and I want to see where it's going.
Man, if I had a dollar for every time somebody got involved with a sarin gas attack in a manga, I wouldn't be doing a podcast, let me tell you.
Hey, that's on the list. You can't tell that joke.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So that's what I've been watching.
Okay. That's pretty weird.
It is
weird.
It's
a weird one.
It's a callback to a time in anime where things were not just either shonen or weird waifu bait.
Are you sure about that?
Well, no. Maybe I am being a little bit nostalgic. But then again, I am a reactionary.
It's true. Yeah, if they did it now, the kids would die in a sarin gas attack and wake up in another world.
I'm trying to think of the light novel name for that. I was taking the subway one morning when I smelled something funny, and suddenly I was an adventurer in another world.
With cheat-level sarin gas attacks.
My sarin gas ability is overpowered in this fantasy world, and now I'm the leader of the guild.
Oh yeah, great. We're in a really great spot.
Hey, cults, they're coming back.
Unlike you, I have watched new anime. I did not go back because I am not a reactionary.
Oh, blazing a new path forward, huh?
Yeah, we got to keep this show fair and balanced. So I'm a progressive in that I am progressing along with modern anime.
All right, what have you been watching? Is this a new premiere?
Well, no, I'm unfortunately not watching anything new. I am continuing to watch Orb.
Orb!
On the movements of the Earth.
Hey, that doesn't spell out Orb.
Orb colon. Like I said, you know, last time, I'm I'm still watching Ishira, which I think is cool. It's cool, but it's, you know, season two. It's just doing its thing.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's pretty interesting. And nobody seems to care. I don't see anybody talking about Ishira. Never seems to come up, but I like it.
Well, I think like was demonstrated with No Name. Everything you like is faded to obscurity.
Yeah, no one gives a shit about the stuff I like. I really am the Grim Reaper here.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that I like that other people like.
Oh.
Because season two of, and this name is so unfortunate, but I will say the full title, Toilet Bound Hanako-kun has returned. And I started watching season two. I've let off for a little bit, but I am watching it.
Please,
now.
Let's keep the language clean on the show, okay?
Believe me, I do not like saying the whole name. I wish it was called anything else. But, you know, he is a spirit, and he does live in the girl's bathroom. So, I don't know. I guess it's accurate.
Oh, wait, he lives in the girl's bathroom?
Yeah.
Oh, that's worse. That's really bad.
It's a strange choice, because the Hanako-san story is that there is a girl in the girl's bathroom who, if you like knock on the, it's sort of like a Bloody Mary thing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you go into the girl's bathroom and you say Hanako-san, 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 and then you knock on a stall door, she'll be in there. And then, I don't know, kill you or something. I don't really know the rest of it. But in this one, a girl does it because I guess the rumor is that Hanako will grant you a wish, maybe? It's been a while since issue one. But when she does it, it's a weird little boy.
Yeah, again, wish granting, easy motivation.
Wish granting, yeah. But it's a little boy, and he's got a big knife. I don't know why, but that's Hanako in this version.
What's the knife for?
Probably chopping people up.
Okay, all right.
Chopping. He only chops up other ghosts, though. Don't worry. He's not out here killing human beings. It's not that kind of show.
He's one of those ghost killer ghosts.
He's one of the seven wonders of the school. Woo. Pretty cool.
What are the other six?
Let me think. So there's the keepers of the clock. They like live in the clock tower of the school, and they control time.
Okay.
There's a guy who is the librarian of the secret library that has all the books that tell your past, present, and future. There's the fox lady of the stairway that if you step on the fourth stair, she drags you to hell.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Pretty bad, right?
Yeah, that's not good. That seems much less benevolent than the others.
Oh, no, most of them are pretty bad.
Okay.
There's the tree that if you confess your feelings to the person you like, they will fall in love with you whether they like you or not.
Okay, that's...
It's bad.
Non-consent tree.
Yeah, it's the non-consensual tree. It's pretty bad. There's seven of these things. One of them dies before we ever actually get to know what its whole deal is. So more like six. But he goes around and he fucks with these dudes with his trusty human companion.
Okay.
I like the manga quite a lot. It has a really great, weird art style. I think it's really, really cool to look at. In season one, they did a pretty good job of translating that art style, which is why I watched it. I think season two, they have gone, as is tradition, a little less hard on the animation, but it doesn't look bad. It's not a One Punch Man situation. I think it still looks fine, but it's not quite as distinctive as you'd want from a manga that looks so juicy, I guess.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's always a bit of a letdown, yeah.
It's okay. You know, it's just, you know, a lot of mangas, like, it looks like manga, so when they make the anime that looks like anime, you're not like, hey, what happened here? But every once in a while, they translate a manga that has some real character, you know, some lines on its face. And then, you know, then the anime.
Yeah, that well-aged manga.
Yeah, that nice, well-aged manga. And then the anime just looks like an anime, and you go, well, I don't know, what was I expecting?
I mean, it happens. It happens to everything. I think there is just a certain amount of downgrading you have to accept if you want anime to be churned out in the ecosystem that it's being churned out in, right?
Well, yeah, there was a very long gap between season one and season two here, so it wasn't like they were rushing it, but you know, I think it's just one of those things. for the most part, I've been checking out some new manga, as is my proclivity, especially when there's nothing to watch. I read a few new things that are kind of interesting.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you about Love Eating Girl?
No, I don't think you did.
I didn't tell you about that one?
It seems pretty straightforward. I assume this is about some kind of girl who eats love.
You've already made your first mistake. There are 5 girls who eat love.
Oh!
Whoa!
Oh, you know what? I totally remember this one. Okay, yeah, go for it. I liked this premise.
It's a great premise. It's not very old yet, so there's not that much out. But it's about, I guess, in this world there are essentially succubi, but they're only kissing succubi. They're only I guess first base succubi.
The worst kind.
prudish succubi. And when they kiss you, they eat your entire life's worth of love, like the whole emotion.
They suck it all up and they turn you into an incel.
Well, no, I mean, you don't have to be celibate. You're just never going to catch feelings, you know, which, hey, I don't know. You go either way on that one.
So what you're saying is that fundamentally nothing would change for most guys.
it's not about love. It's about power.
Hey, have you ever considered that maybe the reason for the male loneliness epidemic is succubuses? You ever think about that one?
No, I think succubuses would clear a lot of things up. That's why they're so politically motivated to get women to legally date them. These succubi are kind of interesting, though. Nobody ever says succubi. They are called love-eating girls. And this is sort of an incelish kind of fever dream, because a boy who's a bit of a loser, he's never dated or anything. He's never fallen in love. He's incredibly nervous around women. He just sucks. He can't even make eye contact. One of these guys, you know?
Sure.
On his first day of high school, 5 different girls confess to him. And this confuses the poor man.
To be honest, I consider myself at least somewhat well-rounded as an individual, and that would freak me out as well. I would be like, something's up. Something's fishy.
Something is fishy. He has that exact reaction, which I was very happy about. He goes, okay, this is, you know, 2 would be maybe like, wow, I'm a lucky guy. 5, no, this is like a plot. Something is like happening to me. Luckily for him, he meets a avuncular science teacher who explains that as a science teacher, his hobby is, I guess, like xenobiology, basically. Cryptobiology? Cryptobiology.
And that's why he has to be a teacher instead of working in government jobs.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been studying love-eating girls, as he calls them. And he's like, 5 girls confess to you on day 1. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They're probably all love-eating girls. The thing is, I have insider information, and only 4 love-eating girls go to this school. So,
oh
man, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, buddy. One of them must be like a girl who actually likes you. And of course, this drives the little boy insane. He goes insane.
Well, because no one would actually like him. He sounds like a loser.
Why would anyone actually like him? And we find out that there is a distinct feature of the love-eating girls, and that's they have forked tongues, which is, that's a choice. That's a choice.
Oh, boy.
Right there. Yeah.
It's
fun.
Yeah.
It's actually fun, though. It's like a fun comic where he goes on dates with these girls, and, like, instead of them being, like, devious and evil, they actually, like, teach him not to be a fucking whiny little bitch all the time, which is cool. It's like, wow, this guy's like becoming a regular stand-up person by hanging out with girls. Wow, there's a lesson to be learned there.
Okay, but and then they like try and seduce him? Like what? Or
no,
has there been no movement on that front so far? And these are all just normal ass women.
Well, he's a high school boy. You don't need to do much to seduce him.
Well, he was already smart enough to like figure out something was going on here. So I don't know.
Yeah, but he still went on all the dates.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. It's fun. It's like it's a fun little weird mystery on top of being just kind of like a sweet character piece.
Well, I mean, I like that. I like when these premises, I mean, does it understand not to take itself too seriously?
It does not take itself too seriously.
Okay, good, because
nobody's in danger.
Okay. Well, with this, the way you described it, this premise has so many angles to go wrong, right? The obvious.
Oh, yeah.
The obvious characterization for this character would be just turning him into like the basic incel type, like, all of these stupid ass Gyaru romance comics that I've read. Right. The main character is always a dude in the exact same situation where and honestly, much more like cool and sociable and attractive person than him, like comes up and offers to date him, like apropos of nothing. And his instant thought, every single one of their thoughts is like, wow, she must be some kind of evil bitch who's trying to date me to make fun of me somehow.
No, he is not a piece of shit like that. I think part of it that I really like about this comic is it's like him unlearning all of his like weird inbuilt misogyny. Because he's like, oh, why am I afraid of these girls? When I hung out with them, it turns out that they're like literally just people. Like they're people with their own feelings and emotions, and they're not like, you know, mysterious aliens. Even though in the premise they are, like, they actually are mysterious crypto creatures.
It is funny that we're still stuck on trying to get through that one point in like entertainment media geared towards men, right?
Yeah.
How many times can this stuff do the story of like, hey, women are just people, like they're just regular ass people.
Yeah.
And we just got to keep doing it because nobody fucking gets it, apparently.
It's always dudes going, man, I just don't get it. You can't understand the mind of a woman. And it's like, I can't.
Have you tried not being an idiot?
Yeah. Have you just not been a fucking asshole? Have you tried that one? Anyway, I do like that one. I like that one. Let me tell you about one more and then we can call it.
Okay. All right.
Because I read a very weird, interesting thing that got canceled very quickly. I read a manga published by, of course, the Japanese Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare called The NPCs in This Village Sim Game Must Be Real by Hirokuma and Morita Kazuhiko.
Wow.
This is a manga about solving hikikomoriism.
I was just about to say this, like that title alone gives the impression that it's like, hey, we have a problem with nihilistic solipsism growing in this country. What do we do about that? How do we get through to these kids?
Yes, exactly. And that's what this comic is. And I think that's why it got canceled, because people got angry.
Hey,
stop trying to fix my life.
Hey, I resemble that comment.
This is a bizarre one. The main character is a shut-in, a completely pathetic man-child shut-in, like all of us.
I mean, how else are we going to relate?
How else can we relate? He's, you know, doesn't seem to have any hobbies, no friends, no job, kind of just sits in his room playing video games. Really hid a little too close to home at a lot of fronts. until one day he, as happens to all of us at some point in life, he gets a mysterious prototype of a video game in the mail.
All right. Love it when that happens.
Yeah. I when it happened to me, I didn't change my life, but you know, it was still a memorable experience. His is much different than mine. It turns out when he boots up the game, there's like an actual little world in there.
Jesus.
For a little while, he thinks of it kind of as The Sims, but like photorealistic and extremely complex.
So it's kind of like what if The Sims, but also kind of Ender's Game kind of thing going on.
Yeah, exactly.
He finds out, it says like, oh my God, they're real, as the title implies.
Yeah. He has a little like RPG fantasy troop, and they find themselves like stuck in a forest. They have to like build themselves a little shelter, and he kind of like a Peter Molyneux game, black and white or whatever. He plays the god in charge of them. They believe in him, and their belief points give him power to affect various parts of the world. But they are like real. They're like real people. And he becomes really invested in their lives. And this backfills a purpose in life for him, because in order to help them survive, he needs to like wake up in the morning, you know, and like feed himself.
It lets him keep a schedule.
Keep a schedule. At one point, he realizes that he can pay. There's like a kind of a DLC thing in it where he can pay to make their lives better.
And so he has to get a job so he can pay for the DLC.
Yes, he gets a job and he starts meeting people. And, you know, in the course of his exploration of this game, like his life becomes much, much better because he's like found something to live for, which is the care and attention of these tiny little people in his computer.
See, I get that, and I don't really like that interpretation or that concept, because it's very similar to like, hey, you should just have a kid because that'll give your life meaning, right?
Yes, it does stray into some interesting territory when you think about it.
I guess I don't like the implication that that life is not worth living, like, inherently. Like, right? It's like, hey, you're a loser and you have no job and everything sucks, but if suddenly you're given the responsibility of making sure other people don't die, that'll make you be better. And I don't think that's really what motivates people to, like, fix their lives in that way.
Well, yeah, it's not like there's no such thing as a bad dad.
Yeah.
I think the point is this guy had given up, and having something to care about is what, like, re-engages him with reality, which is very funny because the thing that re-engages him with reality is, of course, complete fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's that part. And it's like, what if he had decided to, like, just be a dick? What if he decided to be an evil god? And like,
well, there is. That's the other flip side of it, is that it turns out, he finds out later on, there are other people playing the game as the evil gods who are trying to kill his guys. What the fuck?
So it's like it's in some kind of online base builder, like a world management game, but also multiplayer.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And there are people managing, like, you know, because it's an RPG, there are like goblins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy out there being the goblin god, and he's trying to get his goblins to kill your little dudes.
Well, I mean, presumably, this guy's little dudes are also killing the goblins, so, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's self-defense, you know? It's okay in that way.
They're sticking with the goblins are ontologically evil sentiment.
Yeah, and, you know, it's okay to kill goblins. I mean, come on.
That's what you do.
It's an RPG. Yeah. It's what you do. Come on. We all know the rules.
This sounds incredibly dark.
It's very lighthearted. I mean, it gets dark when we realize there is a guy who's trying to kill his little dudes, because at that point we understand that they are like actually alive and we really don't want them to get murdered by goblins.
And it would suck to be born into this weird dimension controlled by like sweaty hikikomori dudes, like venting their feelings about how unsuccessful they are into a video game.
Yeah, it would. Their life... The little dudes' lives are very bad. I cannot stress that enough.
You guys have it easy. My god is a Discord mod.
Well, there is a, you know, we put it together later that, like, there's an elf village. And the elf village just gets wiped out. And we realize later on, oh, that's because, like, the guy didn't log on for a couple days. Oh, no.
See, I feel like that kind of obligation would make it very hard for this dude to actually engage with reality, right? The my little guys are dependent on me is the chorus of a video game addict, Like, I can't engage with the world because my little world that I control is literally the only thing that is real and important to me.
Yeah, but if he doesn't go out into the world and get a job and, like, experience new things, his little guys are going to die.
See, it should have been him, like, going through stages of, like, all right, how can I make money without leaving my apartment first? And he, like, tries to sell feet pics online or something, and then they don't sell well. He's like, well, shit, no one wants my feet pics. I guess I gotta go work at the convenience store down the street or something.
Well, all I could say is, if that's kind of what you're into, you should give this one a shot. It's only 30 chapters. It's pretty breezy. There's some funny stuff in there. At what point the little guys send him an egg from inside the game, and the egg hatches into a magic lizard, and the magic lizard like lives in his backpack. There's stuff going on. There's like a lot of stuff going on.
Okay, well, the fact that there's somehow travel between the reality world and the video game world, that is, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that's a wild one. Near the beginning, they offer their god like a weird kind of like apple pear thing that only exists in a fantasy realm, and then it shows up at his house like in a box like your penguins. And his mom opens it up and she's like, what the fuck, what is this?
He's like, don't look at that.
And he's like, mom, don't eat that, it might be poisonous, don't eat it. And she's like, I'm trying it.
I mean,
and it doesn't kill her.
How long until we get to where they're just doing the Futurama episode and his little guys like invent nuclear weapons and start wiping out everybody else?
Dude, it's a fantasy game. They're so much better than nuclear weapons. There's like mass death spells.
I don't know. That sounds kind of cool. I could check that out.
Yeah, it's worth a read. Again, it's only 30 chapters. They canceled it because the guy's life got better. And then where do you go from there?
I mean, if his life got better, that seems like the natural end of the story, unless it just leaves the little world hanging. Like,
well, yeah, the little guys' lives also got better, but like not as much as his did. They had a lot of room to grow. The little guys were still in a lot of peril.
I mean, maybe they could do like a wrap-up chapter where he passes on the video game to some other loser who needs it.
Some other loser asshole.
Yeah, a Jumanji situation or something.
Yeah, that would be fun. He has like a cousin that just sucks so bad, and he's like, here, try this out. I think you're gonna like this.
It's like that old Coca-Cola commercial where the guy tosses the jersey at the kid. Hey, this is for you.
And then the jersey makes him not a loser.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So yeah, those are a couple things I read instead of watching new anime.
Well, it was the smart decision, considering what we have to work with this season.
Yes, and in light of that, I think we should wrap it up, since there's no good anime. We don't have as much to talk about this week. Sorry, guys.
You heard it here. Anime sucks. It's bad. It may have always been
anime
bad.
Anime kind of sucks. No, there's some good stuff. Remember Macross?
Hey, remember Macross?
It's been a while, though, I will admit. It's been a little while since Macross.
Okay, handsome and beautiful and tall listeners, thank you once again. Please go check out the TikTok. Check it. Follow us on Blue Sky at Anime Death Spiral. Do the stuff.
We've got the Instagram that we haven't started cross posting.
We got the gram. We're doing it for the gram. People still say that, right?
No, that's on the board.
Ah, shit. Okay.
Yep.
Well, until next time. Bye.
I think you need to watch Orb on the movements of the Earth, because you're getting Earth-centric here, and really everything comes from the cosmos.